Put that first slide on, please, Carolyn. Yep, and on to the next one. So, folks, just some foundational scriptures about, I think, what we're all pretty clear about as Christians is that we're called to share our faith. So, just a couple of verses. There's scores of these verses in John's Gospel, but just a couple about this concept of sentness. This is a new word in the dictionary now, which Evangelism Shift have coined, called sentness. So, in John 17, 18, in that amazing prayer of Jesus, he said, praying to his Father, as you sent me into the world, I've sent them into the world. And then even more explicit, after Jesus has risen from the dead, he says to his disciples, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. So this concept of sentness, like the Father sent the Son, so the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have sent us, in a sense, to be Jesus to the world. And you're all going to know the next one, the Great Commission. But interestingly, this John 20, 21 has been called the Everyday Commission. Because if you look at the life of Jesus, every day he was engaged in representing the Father. And part of the teaching of Evangelism Shift is that's what we're called to be. Conscious, aware, sent, and as was prayed, trusting the Spirit of God to do the work. So that's our everyday commission. I'm sure you know the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So the Great Commission. And that lovely concept from Matthew about salt and light. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good work deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And just a lovely balance there that about Evangelism Shift is not just about the message of the gospel, it captures the great commandment about love one another. We're called to share our faith and be involved in caring for and loving for people in our world. Now, interestingly, that scripture was it sort of pinpointed a little bit a concern that the elders of the church have for our own lives and for the whole church is, have we inadvertently allowed the lamp to get under the table? And so we have a really close, intimate relationship with God ourselves, but it's pretty private. I have to say that described my life. God is very close and precious and real to me in my life, but it's been a bit, the lamp's been under the table. And it's been a wonderful year of learning how to get the lamp back on the table and be guided and assisted in how one can just naturally be involved in sharing what we have in Christ. So, next slide, please, Carolyn. In December, early December, we updated you with what was happening, and we used this slide here to remind you that Evangelism Shift is a movement of churches across Australia and now the world, whose people have a culture of living as a witness in their everyday life. So this is the focus of what we've been learning, it's called a lifestyle of witness. How do we just go about our lives intentionally, everyday commission, as it were, just trusting God to use us? So we committed ourselves here to a two-year initiative to help most of us who've been Christians for a while to rediscover how we might have a culture as a church of being living as witnesses and seeing people come into the kingdom of God, which is clearly a fundamental call on us as Christians. So it's a two-year program. We've never done anything like that before, where it's a concerted, focused, planned, well-thought-out approach to help us. We've done series on it, maybe a month's teaching, and there's a tremendous emphasis in evangelism shift on not just knowing the stuff. I don't think we need to be helped with what we know. It's about how do we practically live it out. And I think that's what you would have picked up from Marg's prayer, is that many of us who have been a Christian for a long time have been really blessed in what we've learned in practically doing this. So year, the next slide, please, Carolyn. So year one, and interestingly, ambassadors for Christ who have developed this program won't allow churches to be involved unless, one, their entire leadership recognizes that they need help. And it didn't take us long to get to that point. We felt, as leaders of the church, we weren't modeling this call. And so they only start with a leadership group for the first year and then invite the congregation in. And that's what we're here to do today, to invite you into it and to tell you how that might happen. So in year one, which finished yesterday, so COVID interrupted us, and year one got extended to February in 2021. We've had elders and wives, staff and spouses, small group leaders, and we had a group running in the church called a Leadership Development Initiative. All of the people that were in that were invited. In fact, a whole bundle of people were invited, but we had 20 people who were able to be engaged in that first year. And year two, which in a sense starts today, at least the organisation for it does, is about engaging the full congregation in developing a lifestyle of witness. So year two doesn't have seminars like we came to. It's a process where we use small groups and what we call huddles, which is a real small group, where there might be a person who's done year one and they just meet with two or three people to work through as a small group the themes that are covered in Evangelism Shift. So that's where we're at today. We're about to invite the church into year two. Next one, please, Carol. And this was where we left you in December. We had a quiet time in the church and we asked you to think and pray about what your involvement might be. And at the bottom it says, more information about year two in February 2021. Now those of you who are wide awake and looking really astute, you recognize it's February 2021, right? You're with us, right? Very good. So that's what we're about to do. So next slide, please, Carolyn. The second year of Evangelism Shift is called Life to Life. And it's about learning to live as a witness for Jesus in my everyday encounters. See, you're hearing a word that's coming up a fair bit at the moment? Every day. So we're focusing more on the everyday commission than we are the great commission. And it's about how we just live our lives, and it's a bit like the light on top of the table. So on behalf of the elders, and they're going to be coming up to finish this presentation, we are inviting you as a church to join us in year two. So the year one people have only finished yesterday, and we haven't even had a chance to sit down and talk with them yet to say, you know, how can, you know, what are you able to commit to? What level of involvement can you have in year two to assist the people, the rest of the congregation that we're inviting in? So we've got a lot of logistical work to do, but for the moment today is let you know about it and know, talk about how we're going to develop it and then see if you want to play, see if you'd like to be part of it. So I'm going to show you a video now. Before we do, Some of you would have been here last year. We did two presentations to keep you in touch with what was happening in year one with the leaders in Evangelism Shift. And we had Ben Royce, Quinton Taylor, Jean-Pierre Bouchard, Ruth Spencer, and Linda Hewson all gave a short testimony of what they were finding, what they were learning, what was happening in their lives out of our training in the first year. What I want to show you is a video now of people who've gone into the Life to Life program, the congregation from the church, and they're just going to give you little bits about why they thought it was useful, what a blessing it was to them. So let's forget about me for a minute. And
Evangelism Shift has really meant me realizing that evangelism isn't just for someone else. It's actually, it involves me. It involves me rolling up my sleeves and doing my part and having the rewards of bringing others to love Christ just as I do and that someone else did for me.
Evangelism Shift has had an incredible impact on me this year. I came into it sort of, I guess, looking at my Christian faith as lots of compartments, and evangelism was one of those compartments that I was a bit scared and I felt really unprepared to touch. And I guess Evangelism Shift, it forced me to approach the concept of evangelism, but I really saw from it that it's not a compartment, it's not a box that I can tick, it's a way of life.
I had a very false sense all about evangelism, that it was to accost some stranger in the street and then hit them over the head and take them from A to Z with the gospel story. And this has just been so freeing and releasing to know that I am part of somebody else's journey.
I think it was in session two for me when I heard, you know, someone was sent to me and I'll be sent to someone else, because it's so tangible for me because of the two people in my life that really brought Christ into my life and changed my life, that could be me for someone else.
But Evangelism Shift has helped me get my focus back to where the Lord wants it to be.
The whole concept of the church changing its focus from having people coming in to going out has really grabbed my imagination.
Have I ever really believed that God has prepared people, and when I actually get that opportunity to say something in their life, that God's already working in their life? Just never really put that together before. So it's a bit of an aha moment for me.
I love the fact that you're keeping all of these ideas so simple, straight from the scripture.
I'm a Connect leader and I'm hearing stories from other people who are on this journey, and they're talking about their experiences, their stories of reaching out to people, showing the love of God, again, in their spheres of influence.
Rather than evangelism being like Mount Everest, I feel like this is taking me to base camp, and then we'll be going up, up and up. However God wants to take me quickly, and whatever He wants to do, I just want Him to do what He wants to do in my life, and I'm so excited about it.
I thought it might be hard, I thought it might be a chore. It's been really uplifting and it's been incredibly simple. It's explained things in such a simple, practical way.
I've been impacted by Evangelism Shift just largely this idea that we're all sent, and it's something that is integral to our Christian life, but we can take courage that Jesus was the first one to do it.
It's not just a seminar that you attend, it's actually a whole entire process of thinking that is changed, and I believe that everyone can come on board onto this.
It has given me boldness, it has given me understanding, it has given me compassion. The more what it has shown me is the fulfillment I can have in service to our Lord.
I have found it really challenging. I guess I came into the program because my husband said it would be good for me. But I've been really extremely blessed through it. I have been a Christian for a lot of years, and I feel like I've wasted about 30 years not being a witness for my Lord. And Evangelism Shift, it's just rekindled my passion for the Lord, and I'm excited to go out and win people.
The gentleman you can see who I wouldn't let speak, his name's John North, and he's been the person or part of a group that's developed this Evangelism Shift, which is now happening right across the world in many, many churches. So, people, and as I say, we just finished our final seminar yesterday, and That was a very, very special time. At the end of that, people, we took the bread and the wine and as a commitment to how we might grow and practice, because the emphasis is so much on practicing, not just knowing. So the next slide, please, Carolyn. The first year and the second year are built on these 10 lifestyle priorities. As I say, the second year is in a different delivery mode in that it's in small groups and in huddles. But these same 10 principles are covered. So I just want to briefly walk you through them. A sense of sentness in every circumstances and encounter. And I was just, my mind was blown when I saw how much scripture had to say about this concept of sent, being sent. There's a big focus on building real friendships with non-Christian people, really being engaged in the world. Certainly looking at my own life, although there has been a part of that, it's predominantly been focused in this church and you know, caring for and wanting this church to really grow and develop. And it's very easy to move out of having significant non-Christian relationships, helping people take the next step in their journey towards Christ. There's a model that they have which you, if you get involved, you'll be walked through the model of the steps that tend to happen in people's lives. And so it's being aware of where are the people that we're caring for and involved with, where are they at in that journey. Praying regularly, of course, by name for people. Accepting my inadequacy and trusting Jesus to reach people through me. So many people who've done year one, and this is very much for me, that fifth principle is the one which I've found incredible freedom in. Probably the combination of one and five. To recognize the concept of sentness and that it's an everyday thing and that I don't have to do the work. All I need to do is be available. And the Spirit of God opens up opportunities. His job. And just as an example, there's a couple at our apartments that Lorraine and I have been building a relationship with, and they've been so warm back to us. And we had dinner at their place on Friday, and I'd really prayed, you know, Lord, I just want to be available. If you open up an opportunity, we'll just be natural and we'll have a conversation. We just talked about each other's lives, nothing about the Lord. And I just walked out of that apartment saying, thank you, Holy Spirit. That was fantastic. We weren't ready yet. And I've just found that's such a blessing to recognize. This is God's work. We let him do it. And we just try, and we don't always get it perfect, but try and be engaged and follow his leading. Finding connection points between the gospel and the person I'm trying to reach. Drawing those that I'm trying to reach into a Christian community. Wow, this one spoke to me. Because I've been a bit of a lone ranger in this, is I've always maintained strong, not yet Christian relationships, but I'd never really involved my other Christian friends with me. So seeing this happening in a little way with another couple at the apartments, he's a mad cyclist, I'm a mad cyclist, so we ride. I see him twice a week. On a Saturday, and you people are kept, I know that was yesterday, EVS kept me from cycling. I mean, this is major discipleship we're talking here. And, you know, we have these conversations, and he's now become as close a friend with Steve Broadway as he is with me, and it really is great. So Evangelism Shift will encourage us to, if you're going out with a few Christian friends, invite some of your non-Christian friends with them. So they start to observe and see. Drawing those, clearly communicating the gospel message, and inviting people to put their trust in Christ. This is one where you've got to be careful it doesn't bring the old guilts back. So I keep thinking, I've had some little chats about Christian things and asked about people's spirituality and these friendships that we're building, but I've not had a chance to really talk about the gospel yet. But I'm trusting the Spirit of God's got that control. So we have to be careful with number 8 that we don't let this become a straitjacket. Oh, I've been out with them and I haven't talked about the Lord. We're trusting God to open the opportunities. Caring about how to minister to others more than about how they treat me. That sounds like a godly principle. And then speaking out with confidence that this person's heart belongs to God. What that means is, and this has certainly been feedback that we've got from, we did year one with Beaumaris Christian Church, Baptist Church, and Bedford, so we combined together. And people kept talking about feeling more relaxed, more confident. But the confidence is that God prepares people's hearts. You might have picked up that up in Marg's prayer. That we trust God to prepare people's hearts. So we have a confidence to be able to be available. And so they're the 10 principles that it's based on. And you know, there's a lot of work in developing those. Well, I just wanted to go through those so you can get a little bit of a connection to why those people that we interviewed and why our 5 people who shared with you spoke about the differences it was making for them. Could we have the next slide, please, Carolyn? So here's where we get to the pointy end. So life to life is an invitation to engage the full congregation in developing a lifestyle of witness. We cover the same material. That's why I wanted to show you the 10 principles. It's just done in a different way. It's done through small groups and huddles. So let's have a think about what we're inviting you into. Let's think about small groups first. There are 18 lessons or sessions, if you like. And we have a workbook, which I'll talk to you a little bit more, just like we had a workbook for year one. But this one is prepared for groups. So if you're in a home group now, and we're going to put an invitation to you to consider, and I really need to distinguish at the moment between an invitation and a command. One thing you know about leading a church is you have no power. We cannot command people to do things. We can only invite. And that's all today is. It's an invitation. Just like the 20 people who were invited for year one. In fact, there was about 40 people invited to year one. And for many reasons, people couldn't come. So we said, oh, don't worry. In a year, we're going to invite you to the second part. So we're hoping that will happen. So there's no command here. But we are being honest, is that as a group of leaders, we truly believe, albeit we know we make lots of mistakes and we're not fully redeemed yet and we don't get everything right, but we in our hearts strongly believe that this is something that God has called this church to engage in. And we will invite, only ever invite, and there will be no judgment if you choose not to join us, because that's just an absolute waste of energy and it breaks relationships. So we are inviting you to consider, if you're already in a home group, we're going to ask you as a home group, would you consider committing yourself to this? But you need to understand, it's a 36-week commitment, which is really the rest of the year, because most of our groups meet fortnightly. And so if your group says, okay, we're going to put on hold, like our group is partly the way through John's gospel, so our group's being asked, would you be happy to put John's gospel on hold and as a group engage for most of the rest of the year doing Evangelism Shift? The year one people, and humble apologies if the year one people that are here today, I think you know this from our training, but we're going to be inviting and asking them if they would might be able to assist a group. If there's no one in the group who's done Evangelism Shift, would they be willing to work with the group just as a guide? They're not the teacher, but because they've experienced it, it's just somebody to coach and guide in the background. So potentially this is going to be a Throw all the small groups up in the air and see what happens. So we have existing groups, and we're asking existing groups to consider it. And we're also aware that you may have a group for a particular reason, and it, and evangelism shift doesn't fit. We recognize that. We even, in recognition of that, we'd say, would you still consider it? We're actually looking to develop new groups. So we're hoping out of this will come new groups, because there's people who aren't in groups at the moment who will say, okay, I want to give this a go. So we'd look for somebody who's done, or a couple that have done, evangelism shift year one, and we build a group, and we'll run it for the rest of the year and see where we go. One thing that we, you know, you've heard us say it so many times, we've always been excited about, is the young families we have in our church. And so we're wondering about the possibility, and we're going to talk to the young people about this, the young couples with children. There's a thought that we might be able to have two young marriage groups with a couple in each that have done year one, and you do it on Zoom. So when you put the kids to bed once a fortnight, you do it on Zoom. Zoom's got features where you can break into pairs and so on at times. So we're going to put that to our young people as a possibility, because it's so difficult if you've got young children to say, oh yeah, I'm going to commit myself every fortnight to a small group. So we're going to play with these things and see where they go. So that's the sense for existing groups or starting new groups. But there's this other option where same thing applies, 18 sessions, a year one person or a couple work as a guide, but they just one or two or three people join them. So it means it's much more flexible. You could go to each other's house, you could do it as often as or as seldom as you like. But it just, for people who can't be part of a small group, it's a wonderful option. You could do that on Zoom, or you could do it face to face. And both of the groups, whether it's a small group or a huddle, one of the things that they've found with Evangelism Shift is that as the congregation gets engaged, people start to say, actually, do you know what? I know you started 6 or 8 weeks ago. I'd like to be involved. So then we start another huddle. So it doesn't matter whether a group finishes 6 months before another or whatever. There's this possibility of a person could be going to a group and running a huddle on the side. So we'll just see what happens in regard to that. So that's the logistics. I'm getting near the end. Resources and key components of the initiative. So, thanks, Carolyn. For each group, we have a guide or a coach from year one. Now, just connecting back to the small groups, you know, there are some small groups where every person in the group did year one. So they're not going to do year two again. So we're hoping that we might be able to ask them, would you be willing to be a coach or a guide to another group over the rest of this year? And you might still meet with your group, or that might be too much. We'll have to work all that out. We have then a life-to-life workbook. It's a very, very well thought out process where people do a bit of homework, so you come prepared. There's a lovely mix between group work, private work. It's a very, very good learning process. And so for the people, the group that I'm in, we've already committed we're going to do this. And we've also said, you don't just have to have done year one to actually facilitate one of these studies. So we're still going to have a go at sharing it around, bearing in mind that some people are just starting to do life to life. But it's a very, very good guide. So the preparation's done for us. It's a matter of just travelling together. So there's a workbook. There is actually a journal which covers every day of the year. So It's called Live as a Witness. And you can run this as your quiet time. You can do it additionally. But basically, there's 365 scriptures and a few comments and an opportunity to write stuff. And it all links to those 10 principles. So it's a way of overlearning. So I'm hoping you're starting to see this isn't just like a teaching series. This is actually a process, a learning process to help us go from A to Z, as it were. And it really is very thorough. And then there is another very easy book to read called Ambushed by God. And as you go through the 18 sessions, it guides you which chapters to read. So I think you're probably starting to see this isn't just a roll-up. Got the home group tonight. This preparation, it's a proper learning process. And then each evening finishes, and this is a bit which I had the privilege of being Steve O's accountability partner, and it's been a great year growing together, that within the small group or within the huddle, you have an accountability and encouragement partner. So that's somebody who prays for you and your friends. So one of the things that you'll be encouraged to do is to have three people that either you're really in a good relationship with at the moment who are not yet Christians, or three people that you're building relationships with. And we pray for each other's partners. We share the things we're learning. A thing that Steve and I found really helpful is we just, even though my sister told me not allowed to do this, turn the corner over on pages from this Live as a Witness that really spoke to us, and we just share those together and then pray for our friends. So it's been a great opportunity. In Life to Life, that's all part of the evening. We actually met separately for that, so that was quite a commitment. So that's what happens on the night. It is a real learning strategy. It's very intentional. And I just want you to think about this. Let's say we had 50 people engaged in Life to Life across groups and huddles. And if those 50 people are praying for three people, that's 150 people that are intentionally being prayed for, and that we are intentionally looking for to see whether God has prepared these people's hearts for the future. So it's got great potential. So the logistics are, the elders have met. We've gone through all of the groups that we have, the current groups, and we've gone through a list of all people who are not involved in groups. And between the four of us, we are going to be inviting you personally or approaching you to say, what's your thoughts? And again, we're not coming with commands. We're just trying to follow through the seriousness of what we believe is this is what God has called us to do this, and there will not be judgments or anything of that nature. So we're going to be talking to people who are leading existing groups, talking to people about setting up new groups, talking to the young marrieds, with the hope that we might be able to get going by, say, mid to late March. So I'm going to invite now the elders, if they'd come up. As I explained, Peter Hewson can't be here. I'm just a little concerned that because I've done all of this, you might think this is the Graham Taylor show. This is something which we as a group of elders are very committed to. So could I invite Richard and Larry up, please? And as I say, Pete would have been here with us. I've asked them if I have no idea what they're going to say, would they take a minute just to tell you about where their heart is around this? And then I'm going to ask this man to pray.
Hi. you'll know that I'm not a very out there, upfront person, because I don't very often get up here. But this is important to me, Like Graham said, he was his light was under a table. I think I'm even more so like that. My family is not one that talks about religion and where you are at personally in that respect. And I'm not up front anyway. The journal is what has, and yes, it's a different picture on the front to Graham's, is what has made the difference for me. We've had, as Graham said, six sessions over the year and a bit. And from one 2 month to another 2 month, it's easy to put the rest of, put what's happened in that capsule and then live the rest of your life as you normally did. Doing the journal every day and meeting with my accountability partners is what made the difference for me. I had to change my attitude from being, yes, I believe that that evangelism is what we should be doing, to actually bring that to myself. Because we cannot include me. You know, I can leave that responsibility to everyone else. But really, I have a responsibility. I've got to be convicted about that. And this journal is what convicted me. Let me give you an example of one of the ways it convicted me. Graham was talking about the sentness. I had to do a catch-up of this because I started late, because operations and things like that that I had at the beginning of last year. And I was really motivated to do that, so I did catch up. And I'm doing it again this year. I'm reading it again because it was so important to me. Parallel to that, I continued with my normal Bible readings from Scripture Union, which, as you can see, a little thing in there that I'm using as the marker. And so often I found that there was a double up between what they were saying. An example of that is when I was reading about Joseph. I hadn't picked up how often Joseph says to his brothers when he was meeting with them in Egypt, when they came to Egypt to get some food. And they discovered who he was. And he said to them a number of times that don't worry about the fact that what you did to me, I was sent here. I was sent to be here. I was sent by God. So that doubled up on what this is saying. So that's my experience.
In the chain of events that has led us to this point of approaching the second year of Evangelism Shift, there was a weak link where the chain almost broke, and I want to tell you what that was. We're here now because you, the church, last year decided to tell us. Nobody said no. When we asked the congregation, what do you think, should we give this a shot? Everyone that replied said yes. So the church said yes. When I first shared Evangelism Shift with the elders, they said yes. I was the weak link. When I first learned about it, one aspect of my job is to meet with elders from the other brethren assemblies here in WA semi-regularly. Richard comes along too normally. And so we get together and have these meetings, and the Evangelism Shift was shared with us. And you may not be aware, but this is... came out of Brethren churches originally, and a lot of them over East that have done it have been Brethren churches like ours. So it was shared with us, and I'm not a programs person. And I thought, it's another program. And so I almost just shelved it and didn't think about it. And I'm glad that I decided, no, I'm going to have a look at this for a number of reasons. So why don't I like programs? Well, I don't like pastors, I don't like programs, I don't like gospel tracts. I don't like anything that outsources the individual believer's responsibility to be a witness for Jesus Christ, because that's what we do. I'm not talking about Bedford, but I'm talking about Christianity generally. Whose job is it
to get more people into the church worshiping our God and Father. Well, it's not my job. Let's hire a pastor and he can do it for us. It's not my job. I'll leave this tract in a letterbox. That is a lot easier than having a conversation with that person. Let's run a program. And then I don't need to do anything but just try to get someone to come to this program. You see the point? We're outsourcing our responsibility to be witnesses. So that was one thing that made me nervous about a program. And I read it, and it's so biblical about the fact that every one of us, whether you're particularly gifted for evangelism or not, I'm not particularly gifted for evangelism, but it's about me looking for the opportunities that I have in my life to be a good witness for Jesus and then deciding I'm going to take those opportunities. And I thought, that's pretty good. And then I thought, yeah, but is it a lot of extra to put on people who are already busy? And you might be thinking that from what you saw here. But I'm going to ask you a few questions. Do you ever do any personal Bible study, devotional, quiet time, anything like that? Anybody? Okay. So that's not extra time if you start reading this journal. I do want to say, I don't care for the journal. Richard thought it was great. I barely touch it. I read a few of them. I didn't really care for it. And that's fine. And Evangelism Shift says that too. This is not homework that you're getting graded on. If the journal doesn't excite you, that's fine too. If you're not a big reader and you don't want to read the Ambushed by God book, then that's okay. But you can still give this a shot, right? But if you're already doing some personal devotion time, then we're not asking anything extra from you in your busy week. How many of us are in home groups? Small groups, Bible studies, that's most of us. How many of us that aren't in one have been in one before and might consider being in one again? I won't ask you to raise your hand for that one. But just think about it. Home groups are a normal part of a church's life, and all we're asking is that the home groups give this a shot. Like Graham said, you can put the Gospel of John on hold. You can do Evangelism Shift stuff every other week for all I care. I'm not in a rush to see everyone get through this material in a year. I'm just asking if you could give it a shot. So I almost didn't touch this. And I'm so glad that I did, because I've found that so much of what's communicated as far as the biblical view of evangelism, which is going out, not trying to suck people in here, but it's our going out like light into the darkness, is that it's stuff that I've been preaching and teaching for years already, not just at this church, but at other churches as well. It's a biblical model. There's a couple things here and there in the program that some of you know that I might theologically disagree with, but there's no heresy in here, and there's nothing that needs to get in the way of the main point, that you can relax and take Jesus into the world around you. I had a great conversation this week with a security guard just at a place that I was at. He was working, and so I went over and had a chat with him. And it was only 5 minutes, and no, I didn't lead him to Christ on the spot. You know, the heavens parted and angels came down, and I'm going to give my life over to the Lord, and he's on his way to India now and as a missionary. But I didn't have that, but I had a great opportunity to connect with him, because I used to do security myself. And a lot of people think it's weird to have a Christian bouncer, for example. But I think it makes perfect sense, and I explained why. And guess what that does? Tells him about my faith, tells him about my Lord, tells him about Christianity in a way that makes it attractive. No sweat off my back. I like having a conversation with a security guard when I go somewhere. That was the other thing I was going to say, too, about is this something extra? How many of you like spending time with friends? Yeah? So just spend some time with some non-Christian friends. The time commitment isn't a big deal. It's just a question of, are we going to own our responsibility to represent Jesus well in our lives? And that is up to you. And again, maybe this isn't your year. And if you opt out, I'm not going to say, well, there's someone who isn't serious about their job. I'm going to say, well, hopefully it's just not where they're at. And there's no judgment involved. So I'll shut up now. No, I need to talk because I need to pray. And then you'll have the blessing of my shutting up. All right, let's pray. our great God and loving Father, you did not sit in your own holiness on high and leave it to someone else to fix the brokenness of this world. Our great Lord Jesus, you did not consider equality with God something to be clung to and sit up there in the comfort and glory that you had. Instead, you came here to be one of us, to suffer alongside us, to suffer, in fact, for us, to die for our sins and to be raised to life again, to shine light into our darkness. We thank you, Lord, for your word, which teaches us to make the most of every opportunity. Not everyone in the room needs to have 100 notches on their belt of people they led to Christ, but you just said, make the most of every opportunity. Go and make disciples of all nations. We thank you so much for the instructions and the encouragement that you've given us in your word, and we pray that you will bless your people, whether it's Evangelism Shift or not, doesn't matter in the end, but you will bless us to be faithful to your word. So we thank you also for your Holy Spirit, who also has come down here, rolled up his sleeves, and gotten to work in our lives. And we pray, Father, that we will do the same, that we will get serious and intentional about being witnesses for your Son and his kingdom. We ask it for his kingdom, for your glory, and also for our sakes, Lord, knowing that this is what you have created and saved us to be and to do. And so we pray it with confidence that it's your will, and with thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.